Today we are talking about the Sightline Project, which is a project that comes out of the Stanford Center on Longevity. And what they do is look at three segments of well-being in the population. They look at social engagement, healthy living behaviors, and financial security. And they basically try to track what happens over time. And their stated goal is to use that information to stir national debate, guide policy development, stimulate entrepreneurial innovation, and encourage personal choices that enhance independent 100-year lives. So that's what they're trying to do with this project. And today I just wanted to introduce you to the fact that this project exists and give you some information about how you can use the information that they provide, especially the visual aids that they provide, so that if this is helpful for you in terms of sharing information with your communities or planning your own work, you'll be able to do that easily. The website is really interesting, but I think walking you through it is going to help to make it a lot easier for you to use some of these visual aids and some of these charts that they make. So that's the goal today, is just to show you that it's there, walk through some examples so that you know what you can do with those charts, and help you think about how you can possibly use this to illustrate key points that you have when you are working with communities or doing particular educational activities. So this is one, normally if you don't have the handout, it's pretty easy to follow along. This is one where I think if you don't have the handout, you'll still get the gist of it, but it's not going to make as much sense. So if you are listening in and you don't have the handout in front of you, don't worry about it now, but just know that later if you're using this, going back to the handout will probably make it a little bit clearer what it is that I'm talking about as we go through. So just to start, I want to introduce you to what it is that the Sightlines Project does, kind of what their methods were for collecting some of this information. So in 2014, they worked with other experts to create a list of predictors of longevity and well-being. And that list of predictors they then categorized into that domains that I mentioned up front, social engagement, healthy living behaviors, and financial security. So a really easy example for financial security is whether or not people have a retirement account, whether that's through work or through some other account. An example of healthy living behaviors is something like obesity. An example of social engagement is something like volunteerism. And so once they had those predictors categorized into those domains, they figured out where there was existing data that they could track those measures. So if you think about, if you're familiar with the county health rankings, which we've talked about before, they aggregate data from a lot of different sources, places like the census, but also national surveys, and they use that to display trends over time and to display what's happening in counties. It's the same thing here. They're taking existing data and they are putting it together in a way that makes it visually appealing and helps tell the story that they, or helps you tell a story if you're going to tell a story, and basically just depicts what's happening in the world, in the United States. And so specifically what they wanted to do was look at trends over time. So they looked backward. How far they look depends on the data that was available. Sometimes it's the late 90s, sometimes it's the early 2000s. And then they're interested in looking at how have things changed over the past decade or two. And where possible, they also look at these indicators along different demographic lines. So age group is the standard one, where they're looking at people who are younger, in the middle, and older. And then also things like gender, race, ethnicity, marital status, so that they can see how some of these indicators differ according to those categories. In addition, there is some state-level data available. It's not available on all of the indicators, but for at least a few, there is state-level information. So you can drill down to what's happening in Wisconsin. You can't get any more narrow than state. You can't get down to county. You can't get down to census block area. But you can see how Wisconsin is doing compared to other states in the country. And so that's really useful as well. So today, what I wanted to do was just walk you through some examples of what their charts and data aggregation looks like and how you can use that, because it's really flexible. And teach you how to do that. And then also just point out a couple of other useful features on the website that might come in handy for you. And encourage you to go check it out yourself because it is a really interesting project and they have a lot of really rich information available. So at this point, we can turn to the handout. At the very top of the handout, you've got that summary of what it is that they do at the Sightlines Project, what domains they're looking at. And then a little bit of a summary about the age groups. So that first figure on the top has the three domains, healthy living, financial security, and social engagement. And that's an aggregate of all of the indicators within each of those categories. So instead of looking at individual categories like volunteerism, they put volunteerism and civic engagement and all the other social engagement things together, and they basically summed it up into one aggregate measure of social engagement. And what we're looking at here is basically overall trends for each of those categories over time. So the bars there indicate change over time. A bar going above that central line means that the factor has increased, and a bar going lower indicates that it's decreased. And then you've got, within each of those domains, you've got the age categories, 25 to 34, 35 to 44, so on and so forth, up to 75 plus. And what the trends here are, what we see is that there are not a whole lot of changes in healthy living, but we do see some big changes in the financial security measures, especially for younger people. So people between the ages of 25 and 54 are going below that dotted line, which is sort of the arbitrary dotted line that they're using, the arbitrary level that they're using to indicate a significant amount of change, which is 5%. Totally arbitrary, but what they're showing is that there's been a big decrease in financial security for people in those younger to middle age groups. And then for social engagement, it also looks like there has been at least a little bit of decrease over time, although they don't necessarily consider that to be a large amount. But they do see that financial security and social engagement have declined in nearly every age group. So that's something to be interested in. I almost said concerned about. Maybe it is or maybe it isn't. I don't think we can draw conclusions from that, but it's something to look at and say, wow, social engagement going down, financial security going down. What does that mean? Is that changes? Is that something that we should be trying to fix, or is that just something that is happening over time and is unrelated to things that we need to be worried about? So that's sort of the overview. So then let's get into a couple of examples. If you move down to the next box here, it's called Example 1, Volunteerism, and if you were to click on that link in the handout, it would bring you to the main page for volunteerism where these graphs are coming from. At the top of that page, you have those circular charts, those sort of bullseye charts that we see in this example image. And that is a summary of what the Sightlines Project thinks is notable and what they think that is the most important thing for you to notice in this. So in this case, 26% of all Americans, adult Americans, participated in volunteer activities in the most recent time frame. 40% of college graduates did, and only 9% of people with no high school degree. And there were some small differences between men and women. So 29% of women participated in volunteer activities, and 23% of men. So one thing that they highlight is especially this educational difference here. That's like a fourfold difference, right? College education, people with college education are four times more likely to volunteer than people who don't have a college education, don't have a high school degree. So that's their summary. That's what they pull up. You're always going to see that until they update it when you open that page. If you're on that page, then when you scroll down, you'll get to the second chart that we have here on the bottom, which is a little more complicated, which is why I want to walk you through this. So the first thing to notice, on the top there are bars or tabs, I guess you could call them. They say ethnicity, gender, education, marital status. That's where you can select which characteristic you're interested in. In this case, I selected gender because it was going to be a more simple version to look at. Ethnicity, education, marital status, there's all more categories. But gender, we just have everybody together and then females and males, and so it's a little bit simpler to wrap our minds around. So then if you look down a level, you've got dots and bars in three areas. On the far left, you have all, so that's everybody combined, both males and females. Then you have females in sort of the lighter blue, if you're looking at a colored version, or more like a periwinkle maybe. And then you've got males in more of a purple color next to that. And so those are divided out. And when you put them all together, that's where you get the all. So then there's two different ways to look at this data. And again, what the Sightlines Project is interested in is change over time. So there's basically different ways to look at change over time. The dots on the top, you've got the dark dot as the more recent time point, and the hollow dot, the empty dot, as the older time point. In this case, it is 1995 and 2012 that we're looking at. And those dots are placed to show the proportion of people in each age group, in the all and then by males and females, who participate in volunteer activities. And this is self-reported, right? They tell us, yes, they report, they participate in volunteer activities, or no, they don't. So we have to keep that in mind, too. But when you look at the dots, you can see the trends within that. You can see where the dots are further apart, means that there's been more of a change, either up or down. And when they're closer together, it means that there's been less of a change. And you can also see how the changes happen over time. By age. So, for example, in the all group, we see that people in the 35 to 44 age group are higher in terms of their dots. There's a larger proportion of those people who are participating in volunteer activities. And then that sort of ratchets down until we get to the 75 plus. But what we're seeing is that there's been an increase in volunteerism among people who are 65 to 74 and 75 plus. We can see that because the dots are higher, the filled-in dots are higher for those age groups, whereas for the 44 to 64 or 45 to 64 age groups, it's actually gone down. So changes in volunteerism differ by age. If you look at the bars on the bottom, that's the other way that you can sort of visualize how things have changed. That basically takes what we're seeing in terms of the difference between those two dots above and lets us see it in absolute terms. So they basically subtract the 1995 value from the 2012 value, and that shows if there's been an increase or a decrease or no change at all over time. So everyone following with me right now. It's a lot of information. I'm going to take silence as a yes, everyone's on board.
It sure is okay. An interesting way of doing this. I follow it quite easily. It's kind of interesting. I've never seen it before.
Right, and it gives a lot of information in a very succinct way, and it's flexible, because if you wanted to look at ethnicity or if you wanted to look at education level, you would be able to divide it out by different demographic characteristics to see how those things differ. So on the bottom right of this example one section, I basically made a couple of notes of what I think is notable here. One is that volunteerism has decreased in the youngest women, but in older women it looks to be increasing, so that's good. And there doesn't really seem to be a whole lot of change in volunteerism in men. So those are some interesting points to take away that may or may not be useful as you're having conversations with your constituents, people in your communities, leaders in your communities about volunteerism. The other piece that's useful is that when you're on the website, if you're looking at these charts and you are customizing it in a way that makes you happy, you can then either share the image or you can download it. You can take what you've done with this image, you've picked gender, you're looking at volunteerism, and then you can download it. So you could add it to a PowerPoint slide, you could add it to a newsletter, and you would be able to see those changes. And you can share it directly to social media or to email or something like that, if that's useful for you. Okay, we're going to take a breath, and then we're going to flip to the backside of the handout and go through another example. So this one I picked one of the financial security examples. And specifically, I picked retirement plans. And again, there's a link that will take you directly to the website where this comes from, so you can play around with this yourself. Again, at the top of that website, we have these circular sort of bullseye graphs that highlight the things that the Sightlines Project thinks is the most relevant and interesting, like the key takeaway points that they think you should know if you don't know anything else about retirement plans from their data. And what they're showing here is that in 2013, over 50% of 25 to 34-year-olds had a retirement plan. That's great. They're showing that the retirement plan participation for Hispanics has decreased a lot over the past 12 to 13 years. So the central bullseye, the central circle in that second figure, has Hispanics aged 35 to 44 in 2001, and then the outer one has Hispanics 35 to 44 in 2013. And you see that it's decreased by pretty much half. So that's important and potentially interesting. And then you also see that there have been increases in women who have retirement plans. It's increased from 42% in 2001 to 53% in 2013, and that's specifically women aged 65 to 74. So that's the top piece. That's what the Sightlines Project thinks is relevant for you. If you're looking at the part on the right, that text, that is pretty much word for word what they have on their website explaining what these graphs show. So you get both the graph and you get the detailed explanation, which is helpful. So then again, just as with the last example, if you were on the website and you scrolled down, you would get to this more flexible image that has those dots and those bars that you can separate by demographics. So in this case, I picked education because I thought that was an interesting one to look at. And there's a few things that we can see. So we can visualize these trends over time, again, by the distance between the dots and then the size of the bars. So if we're looking at the distance between the dots, you can see that there are decreases over time because, again, those empty dots are the older time points. In this case, it's 2001. The filled dots are the newer time points. And we're seeing that in most cases, not all cases, but in most cases, especially in the younger age group, there's a pretty sizable gap where the 2001 time point, there was a greater proportion of people in different age groups and across the education spectrum participating in retirement plans. And in 2013, that number has gone down. You can also see that, again, by looking at the bars. So the bars are going to show that absolute difference between 2013 and 2001. And that can show us really well as well that there are pretty big decreases, up to 20% in some cases, even more than that, of people who are participating in retirement plans at different age groups. So again, the other thing that you can see here is sort of the absolute difference by the socio-demographic group. So let's take, for example, the less than high school section and the college or more section. So the one on the, not all, but then the one on the far left and the one on the far right. And you can see that the absolute proportion, if you're looking at the dots, of people who are participating in retirement plans is a lot higher for the higher education groups than for that less than high school group. So you can just see that there's sort of an upward trend as you increase in age. Within each of those education categories, you sort of see the same inverted U, right? It looks like people who are younger are actually more likely to participate in these retirement plans than people who are older, and it sort of peaks around middle age. That's kind of what we would expect. That's not terribly unexpected. And there's something to be said about the fact that older populations may have things like pensions or other retirement funds that aren't necessarily counted as retirement plans. So that's informing why those older age groups may not have retirement plans as much to some degree. But it does show an interesting trend, and of course that concerning trend over time of the fact that we actually have fewer and fewer people participating in these retirement plans, especially at younger ages. We do see that at older ages there is less of that trend and maybe even an uptick in some of those cases, So that's important too. So the other thing that I want to point out on this graph is that if you were on the website, you can hover your mouse over any of these features and it will tell you exact numbers. So if you want to know the exact number of 25 to 34-year-olds with a high school diploma who had a retirement account in 2001, you can hover your mouse over that dot and it will tell you that exact number. If you want to know the change for that age group, you can hover over the bar and it'll tell you the change between the 2 years. So you can get those exact numbers if you need them and want them, if that's important in addition to sort of the visual ability to look at the time trends here. All right. So now we're going to move on to the third example. I wanted to also just highlight the fact that there is some of the state level data available. So we're looking at retirement plans again here, just for simplicity of not having to change mental gears. We're looking at example three, state level data. And on the left, there is a chart of the entire United States. And the colors depict how retirement plan participation has changed by state over time. Now you can't see a lot of detail on this because it's been shrunk down pretty small. What I can tell you is that the colors range from a big decrease as the darkest red to no change at all. There is not a single state that showed an increase in retirement plan participation, if I'm remembering correctly. So that's really important. They are seeing a decrease across the board, and it's really those different colors are indicating the degree of decrease. Dark red being a really big decrease in retirement plan participation, and then the closer you get to white or light pink being a more steady proportion who participated in retirement plans. So then what you can do is you can click on a state, and of course in this case I picked Wisconsin, so if you look then at the same map on the right, I just have Wisconsin highlighted. And you can still sort of see the variation in the states in the background, but it just pulls out Wisconsin and shows what our decline looks like. And we actually were doing better than a lot of states. We only had a decline in retirement plan participation of 5.9%, whereas other states were much, much higher. Key things here are that you can see exact values, again, by hovering. So if I hovered over Wisconsin on the website, it would tell me that's where I got that 5.9. It told me exactly how much of a decline Wisconsin saw. You can also zoom in and out on the map. So you could zoom in just on Wisconsin or just on the Midwest and look at that. And there's different options of how you can look at these maps. So I can look at the value for 2001 alone, I can look at the value for 2013 alone, and then I can look at change over time. And that can be valuable if you're trying to make a key point in a presentation or in a handout, or even just to learn for yourself to sort of see how that variation has changed over time in a couple of different ways. So that brings us to the end of the handout. There are a couple other things that I want to note that's useful about the website. The first is that there is a section on reports and research briefs, and there's two things that I think are important. They do have some really interesting reports where they don't have enough data to let you use these visual aids, but they have information that's valuable. So one example is a report and a research brief on the very emotional experiences of family caregivers. That's really interesting. I have a bias thinking that all caregiving information is interesting, so you may not feel that way, but if that's something that's of interest to you, going to the website and looking through that research brief could be interesting and valuable for you. The other piece that's useful is that they have a document called Notable Variables, and it tells you at a glance what information is available in each of those domains, so what they collected for social engagement, what they collected for financial security, what they collected for healthy lifestyles. And so you can just tell at a glance what's available, and you can see if you're interested in a particular piece of information, if they have that information, or if you're trying to put together some information, you can see what's available here without having to dig through the website too deeply. All right, so that was a lot of information in a short period of time. I'm going to pause there and just open it up for comments, questions, thoughts, whatever you've got. I'm going to take silence to mean that everyone is just so enthused about the information that they've gotten today that they need to process it.
Well, this is Karen Adegami, and just trying to process what this information is telling us for potential programs. So how, you know, what might be some approaches? I mean, we're already doing some work, but where might be our big hit items that is maybe unique from other agencies in the state?
So, Karen, tell me more about what you're asking there.
Well, you know, it looks at financial security, healthy living, and social engagement. So what is UW Extension's potential niche of making a mark and making some impact?
Using this particular tool?
Yeah, and using the tool and using the demographic information that we're seeing from it.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that some other educators have some thoughts on that. My first thought is in the context of, say, the Creating Aging-Friendly Communities work that some of you do or may be interested in doing. This isn't state level for the most part, but this can be helpful in indicating and giving a sense of where Wisconsin is in relation to everything else and talking about trends that we see overall in case that informs the way that we talk about these livable communities or creating aging-friendly communities.
Okay.
So knowing, I'm going to take the retirement plan example, knowing that nationally retirement plan participation varies by education could be an important factor if a coalition that you're working with or if a county board that's doing strategic planning and is trying to find ways to increase financial plan, retirement plan participation, that may help them realize that that's what's happening nationally, and so they may need to target the demographic with lower education differently or more strongly than they will with the older, with the more educated demographic. Now, in some cases, that's something that they already know, right? But seeing these data can help really bring it home, seeing this visualization. And what's happening on the national level is likely, on average, also happening on a local level, and maybe that inspires them to dig into some of their own local data if they have it available to figure out if there are particular groups that they need to be targeting specifically. I think that probably in direct ed, there's also useful pieces of information that can come out of this. And I, because direct ed varies so greatly between who you're presenting to and what you're presenting on, I don't know exactly what that might look like. But I'm thinking like volunteerism, if you're talking about, let's say you're doing a lunch and learn and you're talking about volunteerism or civic engagement, this can help display what proportion of the population are actually participating in volunteer activities and helping the people that you're talking to think about whether they are volunteering or not, whether they should be or not, whether they should be encouraging their neighbor to volunteer. It might help sort of spur some of that engagement, especially when paired with other information, you know, especially let's say it's an older age group and you're pairing that with information about how volunteerism helps support quality of life in older adults. That might be useful to pair that and say, even though we know this, nationally, only 30% or 25% of older adults are actually doing volunteer activities. And that number's gone up, but it hasn't gone up that much. So that might be another way to just help spur thinking and help share information that can inspire groups of people to make changes, or at least just start a discussion about it.
Thanks for priming.
Anyone else have any thoughts?
Yeah, thanks.
Actually, what comes out to me loudly is from the work I've done with financial, the retirement's going to be a problem in the future. If we aren't, if people aren't putting away money for retirement, and if our taxes change to not encourage that, it's going to be a real problem, because years from now, Social Security, who knows it'll be there. And if people don't put some money away from retirement from the time they start working, it's going to be, and people aren't going to have any money in retirement. And the other issue is there's a segment of the population that doesn't work regularly. And, and also, you know, the jobs are, I mean, even though the jobs around here are $12 to $14 an hour, I'm thinking that's poverty level jobs. And if they don't keep those jobs and improve increase their salary or their hourly wage per se and keep working, they're not going to have hardly anything. And at $12 to $14 an hour, their money might be taken up in, if there is a retirement plan, what has to be taken out, and health insurance, and they may feel that they don't have enough money to put away when they're 25 years old. So I see big problems with that in the future. I've seen some people right now from the older generation, older than me, who have thought Social Security was going to be everything that they needed. And soon they found out that that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
So I think retirement, this information just proves that retirement education is going to be so important for financial stuff.
Yep.
And again, not just the older population, it's the younger working forward.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
And again, the goals that the Sightlines Project set for themselves are to stir debate, guide policy development, stimulate innovation, and encourage personal choices. And I think depending on who's using this information and how, educators engage in a lot of that, whether they are working with coalitions or working on community development pieces or working with individual people. All of those goals overlap with, to some degree, with what educators do. So stirring debate, guiding policy development, stimulating innovation, encouraging personal choices that enhance well-being. That's stuff that you guys do all the time. And so if this can help with that, that was my goal in presenting this, was to give you this tool if you felt that this would resonate with your populations. It's something that is visual. It's something that, because it's visual, can really spur those conversations and sort of resonates with people. And then can help people think about these issues in a different way, or maybe see trends that they hadn't noticed before, hadn't thought about before, that makes them think about issues in a really different or critical or useful way to facilitate improvements in well-being and better outcomes.
And I think this is Jane, that, you know, the volunteerism piece is interesting too, as those of us who work with, you know, organizations in our own organizations that rely heavily on volunteers, you know, that was interesting information to me as well. So, you know, showing that younger people are volunteering at lower rates. Just a, you know, comment, something I noticed.
Yeah. And those are just two examples of data that they have available on the website. There's numerous other examples that you can look at. So I encourage you to use this as a tool if you're looking for something visual to help you start these conversations or help you illustrate a key point if you're doing a lunch and learn or talking to a group of people. This can be useful for that. So it's not limited to these two factors that we went through today, but there are a number of other indicators in all three domains that could be useful as you're looking at this. And again, on the website, they have that download button, so you can set the graph up, download it, and put it on the PowerPoint slide or put it in a newsletter in a way that is easy, and you can use that to help tell the story. Other thoughts or questions? All right. Well, that is pretty much the perfect length of time for the coffee break. So I want to thank everyone for participating in the coffee break today. And towards the end of this month, we will send out a reminder for the next coffee break with an announcement of what it is that we're going to be talking about. And we hope to see you all there as well. Until then, everybody have a lovely Friday. Enjoy the rest of your coffee. And I will talk to you all soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Hi. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Hi. Thank you.